He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Alleluia. We read from the Great Resurrection chapter as we consider the fact that our gracious Creator lives. This from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 11. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Christ crucified and risen, dearly redeemed children of God, have you ever seen a man change his mind? Women tell me they do it all the time. But I'm talking about a stubborn, self-righteous, bad to the bone man. You ever see one of them change his mind? It happened to the God-inspired author of these words back when his name was Saul of Tarsus. Bad to the bone. He became Paul, the great missionary to the Gentiles. It happened to two of England's most famous scholars back in the 1800s. Gilbert West, Sir Gilbert West, and Lord Lyttelton, who were setting out to prove that there was no resurrection and there were two ways to go to this attack. One to look at the tomb, and the other to look at the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. They did their research independently, thorough study, and got back together as they had agreed. Lyttelton to West. I am convinced that the man that Saul of Tarsus saw on the road to Damascus is indeed Jesus of Nazareth, the very Christ of God. West to Lyttelton. He who is said to have come forth from the sepulchre in Joseph's garden is indeed alive, the Christ of God. They changed their minds. The Lord changed their minds. And we can change our mind too, because God never changes his. When God makes a promise, his word stands. Adam and Eve died after they took of the forbidden fruit. But the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head, because so God promised. And on this mountain, I will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people. Death will be destroyed forever. You see, the compassions of God never fail. They are new every morning. His faithfulness reaches to the skies because God never changes his mind. We can. And enjoy the fact that Easter had to happen. Our gracious Creator lives. Easter had to happen. And this good news saves. There are no doubt a lot of times when it's not good to change your mind. One I can think of in particular that would rank right up there is skydiving. Or if you're rescuing your family from a burning building and you get them out safe, don't change your mind. That's Paul's message to his dear Corinthians back in that troubled congregation. You're safe. Don't change your mind about this. Brothers, I want you to have a very intimate knowledge of this. This gospel I preach to you, this good news which you received and on which you have taken your stand, by this good news gospel you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. It doesn't help you to grab on and hold on tightly till you're 100 feet above the ground and then let go. Hang on to Christ who took hold of you. As Paul says to the Philippians, I forget everything, I leave it all behind to grab hold of Christ for the reason he took hold of me. The upward call of God in this beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ, that God promised he would send a Savior, and he kept that promise even though that Savior was his own son. Most of us break our promises when we get to the point that they get too hard and difficult or too costly. Look at what it's costing our nation now in broken promises, but not God. He sees our pitiful condition, lost and condemned in our sin, and that just makes him all the more determined to carry out his new compassions every morning and to follow through with his promises so that this gospel saves. It always has. It always will. You might say that when Adam chose to listen to his wife instead of to his God, he jumped out of the plane. He was plunging toward his death and the whole human race with him. All of our guilt, all of our sins, the gravity of our rebellion against God was dragging us down. We would have been lost. We should have been lost. But then he came, like the skydiver faster than lightning, with a parachute for every man, woman, and child. He plunged to his death ahead of us so that he could be there in triumph and catch us on our way. Because underneath are the everlasting arms. This gospel saves, this good news of life everlasting in Christ, and this good news has witnesses. Wasn't until recently that I realized what excellent witnesses we have in the enemies of Jesus Christ. Like the soldiers that nailed him to the cross, particularly that centurion in charge of those who were to make sure no one took him off the cross. That's why they were there, to ensure the death, the victim, that it was carried out according to command. And then there was Pontius Pilate, and there were those enemies among the Jewish religious elite. They were not at all afraid that Jesus was not dead. It's just these really smart scholars in our day that come up with these theories that he wasn't really dead, because that's what they have to believe. Otherwise, you have to deal with the fact that he's alive as he said he would be, and he conquered death, and that means he's coming again as your judge. But if you don't want to deal with that, you try to deny the obvious. The fact is, medically speaking, he was terminally beaten before he felt the nails in his hands and feet. But when his time came, he gave up his spirit by his own volition, his own voluntary will to his heavenly Father. The Jewish religious leaders were not at all concerned that he wasn't dead. They were just absolutely paranoid that his disciples would steal the body and then, as they told Pilate, say he had risen from the dead, and this last lie will be worse than the first. They were sure he was an imposter. So they go to Pilate, they demand a guard, and as enemies of the cross of Christ and his resurrection, they make sure that nobody could steal that body. Now, Pilate was absolutely concerned that the death warrant had been carried out, so he did not take their word for it. He sent for the centurion and asked him specifically, "Is he dead?" The centurion had already determined that. You know how they broke the legs of the two criminals on either side, but the word had said, the word of God, not one of his bones will be broken, the Passover lamb. So when the soldier, the centurion, came to him and saw that he was already dead, he still had to make sure. And the point of his spear up under the ribs and into the sac around the heart, that's called pericardium in Latin, the around the heart, blood and water. Testimony to the death of Jesus Christ. The centurion proved it. Pilate proved it. All the enemies of our Lord Jesus proved it. And there were witnesses down through time from back across the centuries. Not one, not two, not even just the four Gospels. You have more mentioned here, hundreds of witnesses, some that we only see in this part of Scripture. And Paul, most believable of all. What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried. Such proof of his death. He was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Then he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, so you can go ask them, you Corinthians, with your problems about the resurrection. Go ask them. They're still living. Some have fallen asleep. That's not just a nice way to talk about death so that we don't feel so bad anymore. This good news has witnesses that tell us, as Jesus said to his disciples, Lazarus was sleeping. As God Almighty has the power to go and wake up that dead man as easily as your spouse can wake you up on a beautiful morning after a good night's sleep. He wakes up the one he loves. And so he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. I was like a miscarriage, that's what he's saying here. I was abnormally born. I shouldn't have been an apostle. But look at what the Lord did. Now I am one of the witnesses that our gracious Creator lives. And it sets your heart on fire, because this good news is grace on fire. What is it that makes the romantics among us always love those stories about the little boy who pesters the little girl until she's sick and tired of his frogs and snails and puppy dog tails? What is it that just makes you want them to grow up so he stops pestering her and she forgives him? Whether you want to admit it or not, there are some among us who would absolutely be rooting for Gilbert Blythe to finally win the heart of Anne of Green Gables. When at last they grow up, and he stops pulling her hair, and they fall in love, and they get married. It's that impossible love, that all-conquering love, that lasts forever, and God knows it. If you had scoured the ancient world for the last man on earth who should ever be a Christian, this God-hating maniac known as Saul of Tarsus is going to be your first choice. And he admits it here. Absolutely no reason why he should be included among those who are loved by God and for whom this good news is grace on fire. I am the least of the apostles and do not deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. You will never appreciate the grace of God more than when you have deeply disappointed yourself and you realize how deeply you disappoint your God. Then the fact that grace is God's undeserved love comes breaking through the gloom and darkness the way Christ crucified broke through the gloom of that Easter morning to show them our gracious Creator lives. You see in that life of Jesus Christ what he really means, that your sins are forgiven, that all the reason you and I have to be ashamed of ourselves before a just and holy God, they're all gone. And God is satisfied because he did not leave his son in corruption in the decay of the grave, but raise him to life everlasting. This is the hope in which you are saved. Our gracious God lives. If you've pulled the cord on your parachute and it doesn't open, and the backup fails too, what are you going to say when the best of the best reaches down and grabs hold of you and carries you safely home? Will you refuse in unbelief that says, I can't believe it? Or will you instead spend the rest of your life saying, thank you, God. Thank you. What else is there, dear friends in Christ, crucified and risen, but with saints and angels and all these witnesses and Paul himself to say, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Please rise.